Welcome to the Affirmation Meditation Podcast. I'm Bob Baker, and among other things, I'm an author, musician, coach, mentor, and improv comedy instructor. In 2017, I took my small YouTube channel and turned it into the premier destination for affirmations and inspiration, with hundreds of thousands of subscribers and millions of views. I started this podcast soon after, and it now reaches nearly 100,000 people a month. I'm on a mission to inspire and uplift humanity, one positive thought and one inspired action at a time. Thank you for joining me in that effort. Please visit my website for a free gift. And while you're there, learn more about our High Vibe Tribe community, as well as mentorship opportunities where I can help you grow a YouTube channel, attract an audience of raving fans, or manifest more abundance into your life. You can also get a copy of my book, The Power of Affirmations and Positive Self-Talk. Just visit bobbakerinspiration.com. Welcome to the Affirmation Meditation Podcast. This is Season 2, Episode 9, and I am your host, Bob Baker. So on this episode, I'm going to do something a little different and feature an interview with my friend Nancy Nye, who had a pretty challenging 2020. She experienced something that she refers to as betrayal trauma, and it resulted in some pretty low points in her life, especially early in the year. But the good news is she climbed her way out of it using a set of tools that she discovered along the way, and it led to her realizing her value and discovering a deeper meaning of self-love, nurturing, and just taking care of yourself. So I hope you enjoy this enlightening interview with Nancy Nye. So joining me on Zoom right now is my friend Nancy Nye. Hi, Nancy. Good to see you.
Hi, Bob. It's so good to see you. I haven't seen you in a year or more.
And so, yeah, so you posted something on Facebook a month or two ago, something about self-love or rediscovering yourself, and you're in a positive space. And I knew that there was a story here that I wanted to share with my audience. And so that's what I like to dive into. And I don't even know all the details of your journey. So I know I'm going to discover this as we chat here. But first, let's establish that we've been friends for several years, I believe now. And our connection is primarily through improv comedy and the performing arts. That's safe to say.
Yes. And you taught me a lot about musical improv. And I just really admire the classes that you teach and the way that you spread, you know, the skills and benefits of improv in St. Louis.
So cool. Thanks. Yeah. And you've been in some of my shows. And then we also did this thing called Playback Theater that we were involved in. So our paths have crossed and we've performed together a number of times. And so is it safe to say, I know you've had, I don't believe you've ever made your living from acting or improv. As far as I know, you've had like traditional day jobs. But it's safe to say that that's an important part of your life?
Yeah, absolutely. I've always had a full-time gig, with a company. So no, I've never made my living by that. I have done some commercial acting, and there have been years when that goes great and I have a whole bunch of extra money from that. And then other years when that just completely dries up and I don't force it too much. And just lately I've been trying to only do things that bring me joy and that are not too stressful on me, just because I'm trying to manage the amount of stress in my life.
And I think that's a tie into what we're talking about here.
Yes.
and so basically I know that, and a year ago, around the very beginning of 2020, I mean, the world was shifting by, February and March. There was a pandemic happening which affected all of us, but you had some things in your personal life that took place, and you just mind highlighting some of those. So yeah. we know what context we're talking about here.
Yeah. So 2020 for me was a horrible year, not even including COVID. So forget COVID ever existed. If it never happened, I would still say 2020 was a very hard and pivotal year for me. And I do want to share this story because I am by far not alone. I've talked to so many people that have had the same situation. It is way more common than it should be, which is so sad. But back in January of 2020, my husband told me that he had been having an affair with a friend of mine, and that had been going on for close to a year. And right after that, a few weeks after that, he moved out to go be with this person. Wow. So I was experiencing a lot of trauma from that, a lot of betrayal trauma. And then a series of events happened in 2020 that just piled onto that trauma. So that beginning of 2020, you know, that was bad enough. But then, for example, 2 weeks later, my car broke down and it was going to cost $10,000 to fix. And I had to go buy a new car like within 3 days. I had a mammogram that came back suspicious and I had to go back to the doctor and get an ultrasound to make sure everything was okay. Everything was fine. But at that point, enough things had been going badly that I was terrified and I was sure that that was going to come back. You know, I was sure I was going to have breast cancer because, of course, everything else in my life had been just going not great. And then a few months after that, I lost my job because of COVID. I was part of some layoffs that happened.
And now, had you been at that job for a while?
I had been at that job for about 5 years.
5 years, yeah.
Now, I was extremely lucky and I managed to get hired back on in a different department within like 4 weeks. So again, but at the time it was like, you know, Bob, when you are experiencing trauma, things that are normal, like my dishwasher broke, I could not deal with my dishwasher breaking. So I washed dishes by hand for like 6 months because I had had so much trauma that my bucket was full. You know, I think of it as like, my bucket was 95% full. So something small like my dishwasher breaking, I was back in that trauma state again.
And I knew about a couple of these things. And so it occurs to me that like two of the biggest areas of our lives that are part of our identity, like who we are, is it's our personal, our family life. And it's quite often, especially if you have a full-time, you know, job, whatever that is, that's part of your identity. And losing one or the other can throw you off, but losing both of them within a matter of months, I mean, I can just see that you would feel lost. Like, who am I? I don't have the family that I was used to for the past however many years is now up, you know, there's a lot of upheaval there. How I make my living has changed. I mean, this is a lot.
Right. I read this book called Transitions. I think it's by Brian Friel. And he calls them lifequakes. So when you have these big giant things happening in your life, it's a lifequake. It upsets your whole life. Mm-hmm. And in the book, he says that most people have a lifequake maybe every 3 years, every 2 years. You know, I was having lifequakes like
one after the other.
Now just add on top of all of that, COVID happens.
Oh yeah.
And all of a sudden we're all terrified of getting sick and we're quarantined. And honestly, for me at first, it was kind of the quarantining and then not having to go to an office was almost welcome. It was like, okay, my life is going to slow down. And I almost embraced that. Now I'm not still embracing that. I want to get back to normal life, but the COVID thing for me was not the thing that made 2020 an awful year by any means. It was kind of there and I, you know, abided by all the rules and everything, but it was small peanuts compared to all of the other things that were going on in my life at that
time. So is it safe to say that this was kind of a low point of your recent adult life?
Oh my gosh.
Maybe the low point or?
Well, I don't know if it's a low point or if it's just a hard,
stressful
transition. Yeah. A lot of good things happened. And we're going to talk about, you know, my journey to finding more self-worth and how I kept myself afloat during the past year. But I see it as a big pivoting year, a big transition year, but also a year of kind of coming into my own power in terms of stopping being a people pleaser and starting to put myself first. Wow. So that, you know, when I look back at this past year, and certainly I've survived, I won't say unscathed or unharmed, because, you know, I struggle with every day my feelings of self-worth, but I am so much closer today than I was a year ago, 6 months ago, even.
Cool. So let's talk about that journey. I'm sure it was baby steps, and you probably went, you know, two steps up and then fell back down again. But what steps did you take? What did you have any tools? Were there books that you referenced? It's just self-awareness. Maybe, yeah. Tell me a little bit about that process.
So immediately after it happened, I was in that trauma state, and it was very physically debilitating. So, and I didn't expect that. I didn't expect that I physically, you know, I immediately got like a bladder infection, and, you know, I just was sick in every way possible. And then I started to do yoga in the mornings. And this really was key for me to get me out of bed. I would lean over the side of the bed and stretch, go straight into a down dog, and just do whatever felt right for that day and that morning. And that was the first thing that got me out of bed every day. Of course, I have two kids that are teenagers, so I couldn't just lay in bed all day and feel sorry for myself. I had to get up. I had to be there for them. I had to not put on a brave face. I won't say that, but I had to show them that this is not going to ruin our lives, that we are going to move on and we are going to do the things we need to do. And yes, I'm going to make you lunch today, you know, and I will get you to where you need to go. And I will continue grocery shopping and all of the things that you need, you know, to do for kids to provide them with a stable home. I also, though, Bob, I will have to say, shameless plug, listen to your affirmations regularly. And I'm not even joking, or I'm not buttering you up to say that, like, there are many days when I just laid on the living room floor and I would turn on one of your affirmations on YouTube and just listen to you saying, oh, I'm going to get teary right now. Oh my gosh. Oh my God. I would just listen to you saying, like, you are worthy. You are enough. You are, you know, you are whole, you are loved. And I would just do that as long as it took.
Wow. I don't even think I don't know if you've shared this with me. Maybe you did in a text real briefly, but I didn't realize.
Maybe, I don't know. I probably should have told you sooner, but.
Oh, that's awesome.
There are many times, you know, that I just felt the weight of it on me and I had to just calm down, breathe, you know, breathing is huge. And then those affirmations. I also would listen to another podcast that does sleep meditations to fall asleep. I had to do that every night for probably like 3 weeks to just fall asleep, just relax. Listen to someone with a calming voice, just saying, you're going to be okay, basically.
Awesome. So you would that, and so it should be pointed out. So a lot of people, when they're faced with those traumas, will just sort of like throw in the towel. But you realize there were steps you needed to take to switch your mindset, you know, and start and lead to a new chapter or whatever.
Yeah.
Then, so you took the steps to seek those things out, which many people don't do. You
know? Right. I mean, at that point, it was kind of a survival tactic. I had to sleep at night. I had to get to sleep somehow. I had to be okay for my kids. And by okay, I don't mean happy. I mean, just be a functioning adult. And when you're in that trauma state, the thing that causes that trauma is that you immediately feel unsafe. Mm-hmm. And so I had to find a way to feel safe again. And those tools helped me. I also went to see a therapist. I started seeing a therapist. And then I later found a different therapist that really specializes in betrayal trauma. And that was super helpful as well. Just the act of talking it out to someone whose job it is to sit there and listen to you and hear everything you have to say and give you some tips and tools and how, you know, what to do in the next situation. That was also super helpful. So I would you know, if anyone of who's listening is going through any kind of betrayal trauma, I would highly recommend seeking out a therapeutic professional who, you know, maybe you only meet with them once a month, but at least it's someone else to talk to who is impartial and who will give you helpful advice without taking sides or getting into the drama of your situation.
This seems like a great time to take a quick break from the interview and just remind you about a service called BetterHelp, which has been a frequent sponsor of this podcast. And basically, it's an online service that will connect you with a licensed therapist from anywhere in the world using your phone or your computer. So like we were just discussing, speaking with someone can be incredibly helpful. You don't have to power through the challenges and the low points in life alone. You can seek out help. So if you're open to that, I recommend that you go to this website, betterhelp.com/Bob Baker. And if you do end up using the service, I will receive a modest commission that won't affect your rate at all, but it will help support this podcast so I can create more episodes. So again, to learn more, visit betterhelp.com/Bob Baker. I'll also have a link to that in the show notes of this episode. All right, let's get back to the interview. So it was yoga, it was affirmations, it was seeking out, a counselor or therapist that you met with, I don't know, once a week or something like that for a while, perhaps?
Yeah, absolutely. I think at first it was once a week, and then it went to about once every other week. Now I meet with her maybe once every other week or once every 3 weeks. And yeah, we still, you know, I'm still processing this and working through the ramifications of what mm-hmm. happened to me. So it's not like I'm done.
Yeah.
I don't think you'll ever be done, you know,
oh, no.
learning how to love yourself. But I think through all of that, I also read a ton of books. I read probably 10 books in the past year that are all different angles of how to be okay and how to love yourself and how to recognize that you are the best person to love yourself. You are your own soulmate. You know,
and isn't it a different or a difficult lesson for a lot of people to learn, this self-love? Because people, I think we automatically, well, there's so many different factors that play into it. We think that nurturing yourself is self-serving, and then we're, you know, depending on what messages we got growing up for our family and friends, you know, that can influence our young minds related to our own personal self-worth. And so did you have those? I mean, so you're not alone, but did you struggle with those? Or looking back, do you see how there was there maybe a lack of appreciating yourself and nurturing yourself?
Well, I think working with my therapist, what I learned was that in my family of origin, I was probably like the people pleaser. I was the one like doing all the things right so that nobody would be upset. And so when you're taught that young, and it's not that my parents did anything wrong. My parents are wonderful, lovely people. I had a very happy childhood. Mm-hmm. I didn't have any, you know, abuse or anything in my childhood. So it's not that anything went wrong. It's just, this is the way it happened. And so what I recognize as an adult is that being a people pleaser gets me into situations where I then become resentful of having to do things for other people. And so I read something just the other day that was like, if you can live through the moments of uncomfortableness in telling someone, no, I can't do that for you, or no, I can't be that for you. And you can, if you can get through that, then you will have a life that where you don't resent people for, you know, oh my gosh, I'm the one who took out the trash the last 17 times. Why don't they ever take out the trash or whatever? That's just like a life example. But, you know, I think if you can stop yourself from being that people pleaser, you can get to a point where you're pleasing yourself first.
Right.
And then if someone else is pleased by your actions, that's great. If they're not, that's not your responsibility. That was a really hard lesson for me to learn.
And there's an example that's been used a lot by people talking about the importance of self-care, but it's the instructions that you're given when in a commercial airline, if we lose pressure, you know, and the masks come down, put one on yourself first so that then you can help your child or your parent or whatever. So that's a great metaphor or analogy.
Absolutely.
For
and I think, you know, related to that, if you can't love yourself, you can't give love to someone else.
Correct.
Yeah. And I had been in a relationship with someone who quite obviously could not love himself. And so, you know, that bled over and, you know, caused a lot of things to happen. And I see that as one of the main triggers of being in the situation that we were in. And it's, I fully believe that if you can't love yourself, you really can't fully give love to someone else. This is work we all have to do to learn to love ourselves in order to be there and be present for our partners, for our children, for our parents, you know, for anyone, for our friends who we truly care about.
And so what are some practices that you can recommend that you engaged in? So it's one thing to say, I now realize the importance of loving myself, but is there specific things that you do, activities, journaling, I don't know, anything you can share in that regard?
Yeah. I did journal a lot during the past year, and I got to a point where I didn't want to do it anymore. So but I know a lot of people do journal. Journaling was great in those really hard times because there's a bunch of stuff I wanted to say and I didn't have anybody to say it to. So writing it down, actually, I didn't believe it at first, but it had the same benefit as if I was telling someone in person, and I could write down whatever I wanted and not care, you know, that anyone, you know, 'cause I knew nobody was ever going to read it but me. But what was interesting was writing it down and then maybe a month later going back and reading what I had written and seeing like I made progress or I didn't make progress, whatever, I could see growth and change and, or I could see, oh my gosh, I'm still in that headspace. What am I doing here? Why am I still here? Mm-hmm. You know, what do I need to change? Now, a lot of the affirmations that I have a bunch of post-it notes on my bedroom mirror with all of these affirmations on them. And a lot of them I've just memorized. Things like Brené Brown, I am worthy of love and belonging. Like that is a big one for me. I am worthy of love and belonging. And it sounds weird to say, like, I need to say that to myself, but I say it to myself. I am worthy. I am worthy. There's another one that I love and I can't remember where I found it, but it basically is, oh, I know where it was from. I read some books on Buddhism and I read a book by, I'm going to say his name wrong, but he's a famous Buddhist thought leader, Thich Nhat Hanh, I think is how you say his name.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
I think I'm saying it wrong. But anyway, I read probably three of his books. I love what he writes. But one thing a little mantra that he wrote was, when you're feeling something that's overwhelming, to say to yourself, hello, emotion, whatever it might be. Hello, sadness. I realize you're here. I will take care of you. And what I love about that, hello, emotion, I know you're here. I will take care of you, is that a lot of times we're feeling sad or we're feeling grief or whatever, and we want to push it away and we don't want to feel that way anymore. And what he's saying is to welcome the emotion, whatever it is, to accept it and to know that I will take care of you. I will do what I need to do. If I need to cry, I will cry. If I need to, you know, go smash things in the backyard, I will do that. Whatever I need to do to feel this emotion and get through it, I will do. I think that has been another one that's really gotten me through a lot of times. Just naming the emotion is so big for me. And I still do it today. I still, just 2 days ago, I was feeling very anxious, very overwhelmed. And I just stopped and I said, I feel overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. And it's not that my anxiety immediately went away, but I did immediately feel like, okay, that's a real thing. It is okay to feel that and you will get through this. You know, I don't know what it is about naming it and recognizing it, acknowledging it and letting yourself be there that is helpful, but that's super helpful for me.
That is such a great point. And, you know, so I'm known, you know, a lot of people know me, you know, because of my YouTube channel as, you know, positive thinking guy, or, you know, I'm always encouraging people to focus on the good and all this stuff, but that does not mean that you should repress or suppress any of the negative. I still readily acknowledge that there are challenges in life. There are people that do things that are, they shouldn't be doing, you know, and we have to, so we don't like bury our head in the sand. We acknowledge the challenges without like making them a part of our story that doesn't serve us. So yeah, so acknowledging when you're feeling those things, I think at the same time you're acknowledging them, you can maybe look at them as an observer. Instead of saying I am angry, you say I'm feeling angry right now. So you're noticing it, naming it, but not embodying it to where, you know, I am anger.
Right, you know, right. There is, you know, a comfort in knowing that this is a state of feeling, but it will pass. Yeah. I read another thing that said that feelings only last for, I'm going to get this wrong, I can't remember how many seconds, but it was like 20 seconds or something. It was a short amount of time. So if you're feeling a certain way, you know, it might just be that you need to feel it and sit it out and it will probably pass.
Yes.
Now, I don't think that applies to when you're in a trauma state, but I do think that applies to somebody cuts you off in traffic and you get angry. Most likely 20 seconds later, you're going to be okay.
Yeah, they're always extreme exceptions. Obviously, if you lose a parent or a child or even a pet, you're not going to be getting over that or brushing it aside. But those are kind of the rarities, the exceptions. Like most of our lives, the traumas that we face are pretty inconsequential.
Like right. My dishwasher breaking should not.
Yeah. Put see me the way she looked at me at the party. You know, that's just not something that you need to give the same weight as some of those other things. And we have to each decide what weight we're going to give those things, and are they really that important? So this is awesome. And I'm curious too. We both have taught improv comedy, but the more I teach it, and for many years now, I've realized there are a lot of life lessons. I'm just curious, have you been able to apply any improv principles to getting through this, or just to your life in general?
Absolutely.
off the stage?
Oh, yeah. Yes, so many. You know, just the first basic rule of yes, and not that I want to yes, and all of the things that happened to me, but now when something bad happens, I often will sarcastically say, yes, that is exactly what I wanted to happen. Like yesterday, the trash can fell over and I knocked it over and I just went, oh yeah, that is exactly what I wanted to have. I wanted to pick up trash today, you know? So just that concept of turning something bad into, this is what I wanted to happen. You know, I think the concept of listening has been very key for me, and especially starting a new job, which I started at the beginning of September. You're trying to learn to be with new people. I've never met these people in person. We're all working over Zoom. It's just weird. And so, you know, the listening skills come into play really, really big time. But listening to myself has been important to me as much as listening to other people. Now, when we're on stage in an improv show or improv rehearsal, we're really focusing on listening to that other person. But the way that I've used that for myself is really listening to myself.
Yeah. Well, self-awareness is, I think, the first one of a big step in transformation, just being aware of your thoughts, being aware of how you're seeing the world. What's the perspective here?
Yeah. And one thing I learned through, again, another one of the books I read, is that feelings come from thoughts. And so now this is that person's theory. I don't think feelings always come from thoughts, but if you follow that line of thinking, when something bad happens, you can sit there and go, okay, I'm feeling really angry. What happened? So-and-so said this, you know, if you're lucky, you can trace it back and go, oh, so-and-so said this to me. And that made me think they don't care about me, which made me feel angry. Mm-hmm. It's not that simple. Of course, you know, in our daily lives, things are much more complicated, but I've often stopped myself and said, oh, wait, I'm naming my feeling. I am feeling sad right now. How did I get here? And I can often trace it back to, oh, this one little thing, this text message triggered me to think these thoughts, which then triggered me to feel sad.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not that doing that makes the feeling go away, but it does help you realize, okay, I'm not just moody. I'm not just being dramatic. There is a reason I'm feeling this way.
It sheds the light of awareness on it, which can also often, is it dissipate? Is that the word I'm looking for?
Yeah. Awareness of our own thoughts is huge.
Yeah.
The story I'm telling myself? What am I saying to myself?
Yeah.
And that's another Brené Brown, you know, method is, what is the story I'm telling myself about this? And especially in dealing with other people, if something happens and you don't agree with it and you figure out that I'm telling myself a story and maybe the other person didn't intend it to come out that way at all. So
yeah, they're telling themselves a different story.
Yeah. they have a different script.
I am a big fan of Wayne Dyer. He passed away 5 years ago, but I have a book coming out probably in early April or late March, called The Power of Affirmations and Positive Self-Talk. You may have seen me doing a little cover voting thing on Facebook.
Yeah, yeah.
And in there I talk about how, yeah, his book, Your Erroneous Zones, was the first kind of self-help eye-opening perspective that I got. But I heard him many times in his talks say that like anger doesn't exist in the world, or jealousy isn't a thing that you can go get a bucket of. You know, it's simply a perception that human beings are making up in their mind. Yeah. And it comes from our thoughts. So I do believe, I've written for many years, there's a process of, you can control your thoughts. First, it's the first step is monitoring your thoughts, like just being aware of what am I thinking about these things? Because I used to, at a younger age in my teens, just think they were just, there's the thoughts in my head. That's who I am. I'm feeling unworthy and lack of confidence. That must be who I am. It's not my reality. So I can choose my thoughts, which then can affect my emotions, and my emotions then trigger like the actions that I take and how I show up in the world. And then that eventually influences the results, the outcomes in my life. So your circumstances are your life are really, I think, a result of the way that you're thinking. I'm still on that, journey of self-discovery. I think, well, it never ends, right?
It never ends. It's a daily, you know, when you asked me to do this podcast, I thought, well, I don't want people to think that I'm just all good now, because, yeah. No. You know, it is such a process, and it's a daily, sometimes moment to moment, you know, self-talk and affirmations and, you know, reminding yourself that you are worthy. You are worthy. I believe every person on this planet is worthy of love and belonging. I firmly believe that. But we have to remind ourselves, and the best person to do that job is ourselves.
Beautiful.
We cannot rely on anyone outside of ourselves to do that for us on a regular basis. We have to do it for ourselves.
And when you first started telling yourself those messages, did it seem, and I don't know when that was, just in the past year, or if you started years ago, you know, in other times of your life, but did it feel like uncomfortable or silly at first? I think a lot of people experience that with affirmations in particular.
It did, but you know, I was so, I was in such a trauma state, and I was so low emotionally that I was willing to try anything. I was like, I don't care if this is a bunch of not real, I'm just going to try it. And I put up all these post-it notes on my mirror so that every day I would see them. And now, you know, they've been up for a year and I see them, but often I will fixate on a certain one. I mean, there are probably 20 post-it notes on my mirror, Bob, but I will, for some reason, on every day, I'll look at one and think, oh, yeah, that's good. I should think about that today, you know, not in a prescriptive way, but just those messages come to me when I need them. I believe that.
Yeah.
Like I notice the thing I need to hear that day.
They probably work on a subliminal level too.
Let's hope.
Yeah, that's awesome. Any other tips? Is anything that we didn't cover yet, that or advice that you have for anyone going through a?
I would just remind people that, of all the reading I've done about betrayal trauma, it is one of the very hardest to get over and work through. And I just wouldn't minimize that. You know, if you've been manipulated, lied to, cheated on, and it's so very common. It's so sad that it's so very common. I can't tell you how many friends have come forward after knowing what happened to me and said, oh my gosh, can we have lunch? this is happening to me. And I've given away some of my books to those people. Like, of course, let's talk, you know, just validating their feelings. I just wouldn't underestimate it. It is important to deal with the lessons you're learning from that, so that it doesn't get repeated. And not saying that I'm not saying it was my fault, but certainly I can do things that protect me from being with that type of person again. So just do what you need to do to get through your day. And maybe it's a moment at a time, maybe it's a day at a time, maybe it's a week at a time, but what you are the person that's going to have to save yourself. You are the person that's going to have to love yourself. And there's no one out there who is reliable enough to give that love to you. It has to come from you. That is the message that I've learned. I used to, love to get flowers, but I would never get flowers from anyone in my household. And I love flowers. I love having fresh flowers in a vase on my dining room table. Now I buy myself flowers.
Oh, beautiful.
Every time I'm at the grocery store, I buy myself flowers and I don't feel guilty about it. At first I did. I felt so guilty. Like, oh, I'm spending money on flowers and they're just going to sit in a vase and die. But now I'm like, nope, these are essential. I need these. I need these in my life. Mm-hmm. I need to look up and see these bright, beautiful colors and these beautiful flowers every day. And so I no longer feel guilty about buying myself flowers. I love myself enough to buy myself flowers.
That's a beautiful message. Yeah. And the more you love yourself, the more you're able to love others and serve others.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's wonderful. Wow. What a great note to end on. So Nancy, thank you so much for taking me up on my offer to talk about this. I know it's very vulnerable for you to talk about these things, but I think it's going to help a lot of people who are going through a similar situation.
I agree. And I really hope that anyone who is going through the situation understands that it's not their fault and it's not anything they can control, but it is a catalyst to get you to get to a place where you can work on yourself and love yourself more.
Awesome. Awesome. Thanks a lot, Nancy. Really appreciate it. And take care and hope to see you in person before too long.
Yes, please. Yes. And
thanks so much for listening. Before you go, I want to remind you to get your free copy of Turbocharge Your Life, 5 Steps to Unleashing Your Purpose, Passion, and Play. It will be well worth you taking a few seconds right now to go to bobbakerinspiration.com to get it. That's bobbakerinspiration.com. The 5 simple steps we cover will help you overcome the obstacles you currently face and inspire you to live a more purposeful and passionate life. You'll learn how to identify what's holding you back and dissolve the hurdles that are slowing you down. How to install a new belief system and behaviors that will empower you and up-level your life. We also share the secret ingredient that will lead to your personal transformation. The end result will be that you become a full expression of your authentic self. Again, this guide is absolutely free and waiting for you right now at bobbakerinspiration.com. Go there right now before you get distracted.